Same scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:11. Let's all get there. Open up your Bible. And now let's all say it together. Got it, everyone? Okay. God has placed eternity in the heart of man, yet so he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. So, as we were looking at this, and I'm talking to my husband, and he's been teaching the guys how to do their outlines, I thought, gosh, this year I want to be like the boys. I want to do an outline. And so I tried it way harder than I ever thought, but I tried it. And I'm trying to do visuals. So we are on a journey. Will you go with me on this journey? Okay. We're going to go on this journey together, and we're going to look at pictures, and we're going to talk about things, we're going to get into the Word. But first, we're going to pray. So let's gather. Lord, as we come before you, we gather, Lord, for prayer, just asking for your Holy Spirit to be amongst us. We know, Lord God, when two or more are gathered, you're in our midst. So, Jesus, you're here. And I want your Spirit to be flowing through me, for you to work your will and your way through the Word in our hearts, in our minds. Expand our understanding. Give us new thoughts, Lord God, to think about as far as eternity is concerned. Fresh things that we maybe haven't thought about before. And do your work. It's a wonderful thing to study together and learn new things. So teach us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's see. Is my outline up there? Can you just try the outline and we'll see how that looks? I need to turn
it. We have it piece by piece.
Oh, you kind of
like a
pie. Okay. Well, the first one is the world's wacky perspective of time. I know that's kind of an old school word too, wacky. I think you might not even know what wacky is, but you know, crazy. We're living in some crazy days. And the craziness is not just now. It started a long, long time ago. That's why Jesus had to come back. But I want to look at a couple of pictures, and the first one that we're going to start with is some Egyptian pyramid. So if you could put that picture up for me. In times of old, as we know, has anyone been to Egypt and actually seen the pyramids? No? Well, they're huge. And I really didn't know what they were all about. I mean, we all see, you know, they all say, oh, all these thousands of slaves had to build these. But the real thing that is interesting about the pyramids is that they are, you know, burial tombs. And the reason they were built that way is because the Egyptians thought that, we've got to get to the gods somehow, and not everybody can go. I mean, do you think that the poor people that built the pyramids got to go? No, it was just for, like, the pharaoh. You know, only the pharaoh is going to go and live in the abode of the gods. And so they felt like you went up, you know, that's why they built it that way. You would go up, and that would kind of magically launch him into the heavens in his mummified state. So in these big, huge tombs, they would put all of his items, all of his belongings. In these tombs, they even put food. And they had, like, these preservatives that they would put because their pharaoh was going to have to eat while he was up there in eternity. And so, you know, they didn't mummify the food, but they actually called them meat mummies because these mummies that were inside of these big, huge tombs, and I think there's maybe, like, 138 of them. And some of them were for the pharaoh's wives and other important people, but the big ones were, you know, for the pharaohs. So I thought that was interesting. So that was what we would say Middle East. Okay, now we want to go, like, let's go to India. And well, first of all, let me think about when I was thinking about, okay, if we're going to do a human, like pharaoh, that would be, let me go to my notes because I tried to make all the words match. Oh, man, I wouldn't do good on Wednesday nights. I'd be wanting some Wednesday night outline things. Oh, yes. Human rulers, as seen in the Egyptian pyramids of the Middle East. Doesn't that sound so good? But when you get up here, you can't really remember, like, to say that. So, you guys know what I'm talking about. This was a human ruler. Okay, so the next thing we're going to to is we're going to go to India. So kind of flash forward to India, and we're going to see the Taj Mahal. And this is all about eternity in the wacky perspective of people's eternity. But this was the Shah's idea of his wife and what he wanted to do for her for eternity. So has anyone seen that beautiful white marble building in India? Has anyone seen the Taj Mahal in real life? I haven't. But it's supposed to be absolutely magnificent. It's like over 500 feet tall. Inside the tomb, there was all these precious stones. Of course, you guys know that the tomb raiders have come by, right? And like, even in the pharaoh, all that stuff is gone. In here, where he had all these jewels, all those jewels, those inlaid jewels that were inside her burial place were gone. The Shah built this for his third wife, who died when she was having his 14th child. And this was, you know, his place that he wanted to be with her when they both died. So their tombs, their, you know, a place to show off. And I mean, it's really one of the seven wonders of the world, right? And I think he now, too, is buried there. And I read in a bunch of things as I was reading about Taj Mahal, one of the rumors was people that worked on it, he cut their hands off after they were done working on it. Now, they don't know if this is true, but this is like legend. He cut their hands off because he didn't want them to ever be able to build another more beautiful building. Can you imagine? Okay, so that is in India. That's what was happening with, I'm trying to think of what her name was. Her name was, I think it was like Kametz or something like that. She had an interesting name. Oh no, I'm sorry. Mumtaz. M-U-M-T-A-Z, Mumtaz. Okay, so the next one, so we have human rulers, human love, and the third one is human, supposed to be accomplishments, but then I was, as I'm looking, and I'm looking in India, I'm looking in Egypt, and then we have to go over to Asia, and I looked into China, and there was the first emperor of China. And this was, I think, he built this around 210 before Christ. So 210 BC, this was happening in the Chinese mind. So let's put up the picture of the first emperor. Oh, there you go. Oh, there it is. Okay. So there is this huge mausoleum where they have all these terracotta soldiers, right? They have soldiers, 800 that they've unearthed. There's probably more. But life-size soldiers, all with different faces and facial expressions. 350 chariots. Just a huge number of these terracotta things, because this guy thought, this emperor of China thought, you know, when I go into eternity, I got to be ready to fight. But then he started thinking about it, and he thought, well, you know, I need to have a little bit of fun too. So he even threw some acrobats in there and some musicians, and they're all terracotta, and there's all these buildings, and they're still unearthing these things. I mean, you can see the that piece that goes, it's like they were laying this way. They've taken some of them out, and they're in different places around the world so that people can see them that can't actually get to that site. But you've got, you know, the people in India, the people in China, the people in the Middle East. Everybody's thinking about the afterlife. And I just wanted to ask you guys, have you thought about the afterlife? It says that if the word's true, it says that he's placed eternity, which is the afterlife. Eternity in the dictionary is the eternal time that passes after you die. So it's an understanding that there is an afterlife. There is eternity out there. And for the Christian, it's a little bit different, but for the worldly people, that's all they have. So then, of course, I thought, well, what about the Americans? You know, what have we done? Let's see the humor and the humans with their humor. Okay, that's someone's coffin that really liked pineapples. So, you know, we're not rich like the pharaohs, but man, we can get ourselves a coffin that looks like a pineapple. The other one I liked was, did you...
old now.
Oh, look at that. What does that say?
It's an outhouse.
It's an outhouse. It says gone to sea. Oh, interesting. Okay, what about, is there a yellow submarine?
No, that one didn't come through.
This guy really loved his coat. And so, you know, instead of just, you know, like the little boxes, these people are getting creative. And those are like our, what we can say, our many tombs, our many pyramids, our, you know, these crazy things that people are trying to do. You know, you don't get to take anything with you. You come in naked, and you leave naked, right? And so you need to, what I want us to do tonight as we're together is to try to get a concept, and it's kind of an abstract concept of what eternity really is to the Lord versus our understanding. And so out of all the different things that I read, and it's like as I begin to read these books, it was really exciting to read, but my mind, it just started, like, not literally getting bigger, but it felt like it was getting bigger and bigger with all this information. It was just going to pop. And I thought, that is why I'm not a philosopher. Because these ideas that these people talk about, William Lane Craig, you guys know who he is? Mm-hmm. Who is he? Do you know who he is? William Lane Craig? He's an apologist, and he's like an awesome mind. And I tried to read some of this stuff, and it's like I was reading Japanese. I mean, it was so deep. So I went back to C.S. Lewis, and C.S. Lewis had some really good things to say. Has anyone read Mere Christianity? I know a lot of this happened in our library, but we haven't actually read it. Okay? So in Mere Christianity, he gives a good example. But there's a couple other good ones. But the one I liked was, if you thought of your life, and you have to kind of picture it in your mind, but your life is a straight line. So if you had a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper, and you drew a line on it, and the top of the line was when you were born, and then that was your life, and at the end of the line was death. How would you explain eternity? And what they said is that you would look at the whole piece of paper, and God is like outside of the paper looking at that. That's how big he is. And so I started to think, gosh, Lord, you're so big. How can we even experience that? So then I started, again, with my little iPad. I'm trying to get used to doing all the things you can do on there. I went to NASA, and I found some incredible pictures that I want to share with you. There's like 8 pictures, and they were pictures that had never, ever been seen by man, by the naked eye. Now, of course, God can see it because he's out there. He created it. But no one had ever seen these pictures.
1 second. It's glitching.
Sorry. Oh, it's glitching?
Yeah. Give me just 1 moment.
And you guys will never see them either. Okay. That's okay. Work with it.
Yep.
Work with it.
Give me just 1 moment.
And we'll see. But I thought, how can there be pictures that we've never seen? But see, they're able to send out these, you know, like Hubble, and they take pictures deep, deep, deep into space where no eye can see, where the Egyptians didn't see that, and the Chinese didn't see that, and the Indians didn't see that. And we can't see it with the naked eye, but there's stuff going on out there that is so marvelous and so grand. That's why the Lord says God's prepared eternity. We can't even fathom in our mind how awesome and how great it's going to be. Now, you can, with your limited understanding, say, well, maybe we'll have wings. I think that's a little silly. I don't think it would really need wings. But I did watch the Super Bowl, and the commercials on the Super Bowl, there was these people that, like, got wings all of a sudden. And I think it was if a car got 100,000 miles, the wings would sprout on the German engineer. And so, you know, all these wings came out. And I thought, that's interesting. So that was someone's understanding of what they thought eternity might be like, that they might think that they might have wings. And so when you go to see beautiful works of art, how many have been to, like, the Los Angeles Museum of Art? Any of our things around here? Okay, well, when Tony was there first, she mentioned that we had gone on a trip and we went to Vatican and we got to see the Sistine Chapel. and the beautiful paintings and things that are in there, and lots of winged things, because their understanding was eternity is, you know, we're going to be flying around, lots of cherubs, lots of angels, that kind of thing. In the Word, it does say that some of those creatures have wings, and that may be what eternity, you know, part of eternity is going to be like. But when we get to the Word, and if you guys would turn with me to Isaiah 57. This is one thing we know for sure about eternity. Isaiah 57. Turn to verse 15, and it says, "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I love that. "For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would fail before me, and souls which I have made. In the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and I struck him. I hid and was angry. He went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will also lead him. I will restore comforts to him and to his mourners." And I thought, wow, Lord, that's one of the only places, only like two places, that talk about eternity. That word eternity talks about time and time being forever, but that he is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. So as we think about eternity, I began to think about different people who have passed on, and just recently, and you know, the Lord only knew, because we had this theme for a whole year, so we've been thinking and praying, and all of us, especially, you know, the ones that are in women's Bible study, knew that the theme was eternity. Pastors' wives were talking about it, we're thinking about it, and the Word says that to the Lord, 1,000 days to us is like what to the Lord? One day. And then we sing that song, "Better is one day in a thousand than thousands elsewhere," right? And I started to think about, you know, we're so limited because time for us is really the sequence of events that happen like before, now, and after, right? We're in the present, but we look to the future, and we've already experienced the past. God isn't like that. He is outside our realm of understanding. So when God created the earth, he created it in a bunch of different ways, but one way that he created it for humanity was with the stars and the sun and the moon and all those things, all those astronomical things. And that's why these pictures... Are you still glitching?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want you to see him, but you might not be able to see him. But
just this one.
He created time, but he's outside of time. And, you know, because we're finite beings, we had to have time. So how do we think about time? We think about time as in seconds, in hours, in days, and months, and years. So that's our time frame, right? Now, if we were to go back, let's say, just say in our mind, to our grandparents' day, whatever age they were, but let's say we went back, let's say our grandparents, we could go back 150 years, or maybe even 200 years. They didn't have what we have now, right? What didn't they have that was huge? Not far as electricity. So back in that time, there was no electricity. So how were people ruled with time, the created time, before electricity? The sun. So you could only work while it was daylight, correct? You only had a certain amount of hours that you could work. And you had to get everything done during that time. And the way the Lord worked and the way he dealt with the Jews was with feasts and holy days and seasons. There was a time to plant. If we look at that in Ecclesiastes, a time to sow, all, you know, all those kinds of seasons of time. We're in a really fast-paced season of time right now, and I would just like to see, like, how many of you wear a watch? Raise your hand if you're wearing your watch. Okay, now some of you may not wear a watch, but you hold your phone 24/7, and that's your watch. How many of you do that? Okay, that too. All right, so we are on this different kind of time constraint. And I think as the end of days that we know it, before the great and frightful, awful day of the Lord, when he comes back and earth is no more, and he has to create the new heaven and the new earth, we're ruled by this time that keeps going faster and faster, and there's just not enough minutes. There's not enough hours in the day to do all the things that we want to do or we think that we need to do. But you guys, do you feel that way sometimes? That you're running out of time? That there's not enough time? You know, we all kind of have that in us. There's something. And yet, as those years go by, and some of you are in those early years, you're in those 20s, and some of us have lived most of our lives. You know, if you're over 50, you're on the downhill side, right? So I need to see all the girls that are on the uphill, which means the ones that are younger than 50. You're still going up. Raise your hands for me so I can see. Okay. Majority. Awesome. You are the ones that are going to be doing this someday, because all of us that are at the top, raise your hands if you're on the way down with me. Okay. All right. Well, we're about 50 of them. Okay. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, because as a believer, on that downhill slope of eternity, we're getting closer to Jesus. And so the years go faster and faster, but that's okay. We're breaking down. Put your glasses on, girls. You're breaking down. That's all I got to say to you. Wave those babies. Okay, at some point in time, these will be no more. Right? Okay, so now maybe some of you that are young, but let me just show you what you have to look forward to. So the ones that are at the 50 and down, do you have some part of your body that's achy? Okay, sorry. Some of you on this side have achy things. Okay? The aches start at about 28. So if you're before 28, you're good. But at about 28, you start getting the aches. Okay. So those of us that are on the downhill slope, you just get more, they just multiply. It's like a snowball effect. And, you know, but the snowball's okay, because we know what? That we're getting closer to Jesus. So time for us is quickly coming to an end. But truly, it's quickly coming to an end for all of mankind. But as believers, we are ready to enter into eternity. And so I was thinking about Robin, and I was thinking about Tracy. And those of you that don't know who they are, those are just people that we know, one in their 20s, one in their 40s. Still not even to that peak of the downhill slope. Still in that prime, you know, time between 18 and 50. Prime time right there. Accountability time. Those two that the Lord said their days were done. And he took them. And I started to think, Lord, eternity, what this whole concept of 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. How can that be? And then I had this little great idea. So, if you have your telephone with you, do you have your phone? Okay. Do you know how to take a panoramic picture? No? I can teach you something. Okay, well, for those of us that have, I have a smartphone. If you go to your pictures, and it says panorama. And what you do is when you push that button, you go like this. And it takes a picture of, like, all around. It is incredible. Have you not tried it yet on your phone? You got to do it. You got to do it. Now, takes a little while to perfect it. But it's, yeah, it's pano, P-A-N-O. And you take this beautiful panoramic view. So that's when I was trying to get a concept of how can I explain God outside of eternity, it's like he sees the whole panoramic view of your life. So don't think about anybody else's life. You just make this concept that I'm trying to give you girls tonight, make it your own. God sees the panoramic picture of your life. Okay? That's why, because we're in Christ, because we are believers and we've asked Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin, we stand. He says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That God sees us through Jesus Christ in a perfected state already. It's not like the righteousness of God gets doled out. We have the righteousness of Jesus, right? We're wrapped in his righteousness. Okay? And how can that be? Because God, outside of eternity, sees the panoramic view.
Do we have a picture up there yet?
We're ready for the cosmic or the clock, whichever
okay.
one you wanted.
All right, Mom, let's do the clock. I love that. Okay. So I'm trying to give you girls a visual of how God sees time. He sees through time. So if the first clock was when you were born, and this last clock was when you die, and those two in the middle is where you're living. So the first one would be that first 50 years, and then the second one, that second. He sees through all of it. He's not limited like we are. We are in a shell. We are limited in time and space on this planet. But the Bible says to be absent from the body when you die means that you're going to be present with the Lord. Okay? That's our hope. So we don't have to build a pyramid, and we don't have to build a crazy coffin, and we don't have to, you know, our husbands don't have to build us a Taj Mahal. We don't need that, because we're just sojourners passing through, and you know what? I guess everybody has to be buried, but, you know, burial, cremation, does it really matter? God's going to do something new with our body. And everyone's got their own idea about that. Doesn't matter one way or the other. But you're just passing through, and it's your soul that's going to be in eternity with the Lord. And then you'll get that resurrected body after what? When will you get your resurrected body? The rapture, right? The rapture, the word says, that the dead in Christ will rise first. So I was sharing this with one of the girls. I have a family plot of land where a lot of my family is buried. It's on our land, and people get buried there. And so when my grandmother was alive, we would go out there and we'd take care of, because her mom and dad were buried there, we'd take care of, you know, the little cemetery. Just a family cemetery. And so I said, Grandma, you know, why would you want to be buried here? And she said, well, why wouldn't I? She goes, well, family's buried here. And I didn't really understand. I'm like, well, what does that mean? She goes, honey, and the resurrection. I want to resurrect my people that I know. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't have a real concept of what, you know, what that meant, but that the dead in Christ rise first. Now, let's say Jesus comes back tomorrow. We don't experience death, do we? So we're going to be changed in an instant. And faster than you can blink your eyes, we will be automatically changed. But the dead in Christ rise first. Now, those that are dead, how many of you have someone that you know, someone that you love, that has already gone on into eternity? Okay, excellent. How many can say they've been gone for less than a year? Raise your hand. Okay, let's go back, say, 10 years. Let's go back 20 years. Let's go back 30 years. Let's go back 40 years. Let's go back 50 years. Let's go back 60 years. 70. Okay, so in this room, 60 years is as far as we can go back of people that have passed away. Is that right? Okay. How many days to God's, to our thousand is God's?
One day.
A thousand one. So all this whole group here can only go back 60 years, and we can't go forward at all, can we? So I'm trying to think, okay, God is outside of eternity. 1,000 years is like one day. Let me drop this little nugget into your brain, and you think about it and see what you come up with. I came up with, and this is just my opinion, it's not, there's nowhere in scripture that says this, but I think we're all going to be there on the same day. Everybody that we love and that we've ever known. Because we can only go back 60 years. And we can't go forward at all. Even, let's say we could go forward 62. We can't because we'll be gone by then. Right? Especially those of us that are on the downhill slope. Some of you on this side, but the ones that are going down, you don't even have 60 years. We may be up. Actually, in Psalm 90. Let's turn there because this is a good place for you girls to look. Turn to Psalm 90. And this tells you exactly how much time you have. Maybe you don't want to know, but maybe you do. So Psalm 90 verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. That's pretty amazing. It also says in verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, meaning if you're strong, they are 80 years. How interesting is that? So now just think about it. How many are in your 70s? Anybody in their 70s? One, two, three. Three in your 70s. Okay, so God says 70, yes. 80 if you're strong. And you know, we have good food, we have good health care, maybe 85, maybe 90, okay? Time's coming down, right? Okay, so we're all getting to that place. But what's so exciting is that if you think of a clock, can we get those clocks on there again? Think of your clock. What time does it say right there?
8:12.
Okay, let's just say all you girls that are in your 70s passed away at 11:45 on the eternity time clock, which we know has no hands, right? Let's just say, like this scripture says, 1,000 days is one. Well, you know what? I'll probably be there at about 1:00, so I'll see you in about 45 minutes. That's what it's like. So to me, that's so exciting. It's not as if our loved ones are in heaven, so sad that they can't be with us. They barely just got there. They don't even know their way to get around yet. And boom, we're going to be there with them. Now, isn't that exciting? For you know, my girlfriend that just lost her son at 21, I said, you know what? He died at 2:10. I said, we'll probably be there at about 4:20. I said, you only have a couple hours left on that eternal time clock. She said, gosh, Lisa, that's so comforting. I've never thought of it like that. And again, is it a doctrine? No. I'm just asking for you guys to think, go outside of this time frame of 60 seconds, an hour, 24 hours, a day, a month, a year, and get into eternity. We have no idea what it's going to be like. We know that it's going to be awesome. But we can look in the book of Revelation, and let's look there. And I think it's Revelation 21. Look there together. Look at verse 4. Well, let's start at 3. It says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away. I love this. When I was a little girl, this was my favorite verse. Every tear from their eyes, there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, there will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And then he said to me, and that was John, Write these, for these words are true and faithful. Wow. Think about all your tears that you've cried. God says that he keeps our tears. It says that in Psalms. It says he keeps our prayers, souls of prayers of the saints in the heavenlies. So our tears are kept for us, but we're not going to cry anymore. There's going to be no need. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more pain. Any of you in constant pain, seriously, I've been talking about before, but constant pain, like all the time, no more pain. What is that going to be like? Awesome. So there's eternity, but again, eternity is for who? With God.
For God.
Eternity is for everybody. All mankind gets to experience eternity. Isn't that awesome? So now if we go back to the Egyptians and to the Chinese and to the Indians and to the crazy coffin makers of the United States, everybody gets to experience eternity because it's in the heart of all man. There is an afterlife. God's placed it there. Now, you can push it down. You can choose not to believe it. But we know these words are faithful and true. In the Word, there's eternity. Everybody gets to experience it. It's just where they're going to spend it. With God in heavenlies, where there's no more crying, or in hell, where there's no gnashing of teeth. Where it's dark. Where it's ugly. Where there's chains. Where there's really bad stuff going on. I mean, it's just going to be horrible. So we don't even really need to think about that as believers. We get to have the hope of seeing our Savior face to face. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? See, we don't spend enough time, honestly, thinking about the afterlife because we're so busy. We're like these little squirrels. You know the ones that go around in the wheel? You feel like that sometimes? Like you can't get off that hole. There's so many things that we have to do. But you know what? That's why retreat is a good time. You've gotten off that track for just a couple of days. We're asking God to reveal to us eternity. Wow, I haven't really thought about that for a while. When you get down that slope on this side, you think about it more. When you're in constant pain, you think about it more. When you lose a child, you think about it more. Every birthday you have, you think about it more. When you get to your 70s, you think about it more. Because that's what the Word says. God's preparing us. And what is He doing? He's trying to make us more like His Son Jesus. Why? Because when we get there, we want to be like Him. Right? Everyone thinks, oh, it's going to be so great for Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want Him to say that to me. But you know what? He's given me this very short amount of time. He's given the same amount to everybody. There's a couple of metaphors of time that I really like. One is, you know what a metaphor is? Well, I mean, I had to look up the definition. I knew when I was in college, but it's been a long time since I've been to school. So I'm like, Lord, I think I know what a metaphor means, but I looked it up. I do. I know what it means, but time is like a hairdresser. Time is like a dressmaker. That's called the senior moment. And why is it like a dressmaker? Oh, that's a good one. Stitch in time saves nine. No. It's because of the alterations. Always making alterations. Time is always making alterations. I love that. The other one I liked was time is like money. How is that?
Well,
yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Some of you probably don't even know what those are. I mean, you're going to promise to pay somebody in the future. And today is cash. And that's all you have is today's cash. So be wise how you spend it. I like that. Yesterday was the canceled check. And so then as you start to think about, when I started thinking about all of our yesterdays, there's a little song that came to my mind. Do you have that little song, Heather? Close your eyes and see if you can figure out who it is. Close your eyes. And we'll name that tune together.
Just one moment, unmuting.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe.
As much as we love the song, as much as, you know, it's in our consciousness, we, you know, if you grew up listening to the Beatles and that song, it's been sung by so many people, forget about yesterday. You don't have it. And you don't have tomorrow. All you have is today. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day to say, I love you. Today is the day to share the word of God with a friend. Today is the day. So as awesome as eternity is, it's in our heart. All God's given us is today. And wow, I'm a steward of today. And once you cut sleep out, your today is like really short. Right? And those of you that take a look out now, it's short. How are we spending our time? The whole concept of time. Time is mentioned like over 600 times in the Bible. I mean, there's the appointed time, the fullness of time. You know, there's references to the day of the Lord, and you know, there's just all these time references. Because God's trying to get our attention about how short it is. It says our lives are like a blade of grass that grows up, it's cut down, and it dies. Says that our life is but a vapor. A vapor. My life, a vapor? That's what the word says. Your time is short. And ladies, I think we're making some not so wise decisions with our time. Okay? How many of you, now let's be really honest. Can you guys be honest with me?
Yes.
Okay, so we say, what goes on at retreat stays at retreat. Not your maturity, but you know, when we answer questions and stuff like this together. Some of you guys have some of you are time wasters. How many can say that you've wasted time? Can't we all say we've wasted time? Be honest. Come on. Like, yeah. You know?
Amen.
One time I wanted to like watch like a whole series, and that's all I did, like all day long. I can't remember how old I was, and I just watched like movie after movie after movie after movie until I was just like a Stargrave maniac, but I was going to get to that last final episode to see it, okay? That was like a waste of time, right? So we all waste time in different ways, correct? But let's think about time and eternity. Time was created. Eternity is forever. We only have a small amount of time. So what we do is very important, right? I think the most important thing, one of the most important things that we can do with our time is to pray. We need to pray more. We need to be praying more. In season, out of season, you know, all the time, being in that communication with the Lord. I think that's paramount. We need to be worshipers. We talked about that, right? We need to be women of the Word. So we've got this discipleship program. We're trying to help you be a better steward of this really small amount of time that you have left. Oh, I have all this time in the world. Really, you don't. Because we could go out these doors and one of you could, or myself, we could fall down and hurt ourselves and be rushed away to the hospital and get a crazy infection, and I don't know, things happen. Crazy things. Haven't you read crazy stories or people let you know crazy things happen? We're not guaranteed anything. We're together here tonight. We're looking at God's word. I'm going to give you guys a couple of scriptures. Go ahead and write these down. The fullness of time is in Galatians 4:4. Look at that. Let's turn to this one, 1 Peter 1:17. I think this is an excellent scripture. Talking about time. And let me just tell you, ladies, I look at every single scripture in the Bible that has the word time in it. And there's a lot. There's a lot. Just do a word study. Just, you know, on your own. You don't even have to. 1:17 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, to conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." What's the time of your stay here? Your life. How many years? That's just, you've kept this little short period of time. Let's read it again. "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Why? Because you're going to be judged. Yeah, we're not, as believers, we're not going to be judged for whether we go to heaven or hell, because we're already going to be with the Lord, right? But our good works are going to be judged. The works that we do for the Lord. So you want to have something, girls. Come on. You want to have something, right? Yeah. You don't want to go up there with nothing. I don't want you to go up there with nothing. I don't want you to go. Someone was saying, you know, I think it was at Robin's funeral, and I think, wasn't she saying to one of her kids, "I'm just going to have this little tiny crown. I'm not going to have anything to give back to the Lord." Okay, I mean, you guys saw our life impacted many humble, beautiful Proverbs 31 women that we all knew. So think about, wow, I want something to give back to the Lord. Well, you know what? What God wants, really, He wants our time. He doesn't want you out doing, right? He really just wants you. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you fall in love with Him. And the more you fall in love with Him, the more you want to do things for Him because you love Him. I mean, for some of us that have been married for a long time, which I have, you know, it's hard to go back to, like, when you first fell in love with your spouse, isn't it? I mean, I try to go back there sometimes, and I mean, it's going to be 31 years, and I don't have a very good memory. Those of you that know me, you know my memory is not very good. It just is what it is. So I'm really on that downhill story. But going back and thinking, what were those cute little names we used to call each other? What did we used to do that was so fun? So you can do that same thing with the Lord Jesus, like when you first met Him, like. Did you go on dates with Him? Did you just like take your word and just like go read it under a tree, and He was just speaking to you, and it was just you and Him, and it felt so good? You know what I'm saying? Haven't we kind of lost that somewhere along the way? I mean, I would be the first to say yes, but it's in my heart. I wanted it. And that's what's been so good about this study, is that I've been in the Word so much that I've been reading the Word, and then I've been reading these guys that just talk so deep. And I don't quite understand it, but I'd ask the Lord, give me understanding, because I want to know about eternity, because I'm going to be there soon. I want to know about it. I want to see you face to face. I want to spend enough time here with you so that when I get there, I know you really know me, but I really want to know you. Don't we all want that? At the biological, molecular level, like Laura was saying. She's a smart cookie, huh? Yeah, she is. Okay, let's go ahead and look at Proverbs 27:1. This is another reference to time. It says, "Do not boast about tomorrow," Proverbs 27:1, For you do not know what a day may bring forth. Now, isn't that the truth? We don't know what tomorrow holds. Yesterday's gone. It's the canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. We don't know what's going on. All we have is today. And then the Word of God goes on to say that each day has enough, what, of its own? Trouble. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't even go out a week or 2 weeks. I really think for women, that is one of our issues. We go out before the Lord way too far. You know? I mean, we go out way too far. God says, today I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide food. I'm going to provide clothing. Today you're going to be taken care of. Don't worry about tomorrow. And then we worry about, well, what are we going to eat next week? Or we worry about what we're going to be doing next year. Or even for our kids. We live in the future so that if those things don't happen, it's like, oh, you're so let down. But that wasn't the Lord's plan anyways. Oh, our kids are, you know, going to do this or do that. We don't know what they're going to do. There's things we'd like them to do. But you know what? Honestly, it's out of your control. So I need to see. How many of you ladies are what you would call borderline control freaks? Some of you more than others. I mean, some of you, that's not your issue. Let me see those hands again. Okay. Oh, not even borderline.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. When you gotta control everything, you worry. And it doesn't honor the Lord. And really, the control is about not trusting God. Oh God. Okay, you know? We can't control people. We can't control our kids or our grandkids or our husbands or our can't control our pets most of the time. You know, you just can't control things. And so the more you can live in the present with the people that you're with and not trying to control what they're going to do, you're going to be a lot happier. You're going to have more joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Spending time with the Lord is way more important than the dog hair. Although that bothers me as well. And I have a very hard time being in surroundings that are dirty and messy. It makes me nervous. And so when my house starts to get like that, it makes me a little nervous. And then I have women on Wednesday morning coming over and seeing like stuff all over my pool table, and that makes me really nervous. And then I have to say, no, Lord, these things don't belong to me, and it's out of my control. And I can have people over to my house with things on the pool table, and it's okay. It's taken like 3 years to get to that place. That is sad. Those clocks aren't up here anymore. You know, some of that stuff, girls, we just gotta let go. All right, let me just tell you. Most of you, now maybe some of you live in some really great houses, but most of you are never going to live in the house that you picture yourself living in. And most of you are never going to have the stuff that you would like to have in the house that you'd like to have. Okay? You know what? The bottom line is you have what you have. You have what you have. If you're on the downhill slope, don't even buy anything anymore. I mean, you're just going down. And believe me, your kids don't want it. They don't want your stuff. So, you know, just start like letting it go now. So think about time. And think about, as you're on that downhill slope, the more things that you can give away, the easier it's going to be for your loved ones when you do them. Isn't that a good thought? I think about that. Let it go. It's okay. Now, I will say I haven't let a few things in my closet go. I have a section of skinny that I haven't let go yet. But my daughter, Candace, is very good. If you guys, she has a little cleaning business. And she's very precious. And so, of course, I hired her. Even though she's my own daughter, she lives at my house. I hired her. But I hired her because she really does have a gift. So, now last year I didn't hire her. And she actually made me go sit in a chair in my room, in the bathroom, because we kind of have a big bathroom, sat in the chair, and she brought the clothes out to me, and she made me try every single thing on.
Oh.
And then she would say, Mother, no. That, if you, well, one thing I really wanted to keep was this jacket that was double-sided, so you could, like, reverse it. So cool. She said, Mom. First of all, she said, you can't wear that jacket anymore. And then I begged to keep it. And then she said, as long as you don't turn it on the other side. Because I like really bright things. And she says, you have too many bright stuff, Mom. You're just like a fluorescent light. Just, she says, calm it down. Okay, so I'm trying to take counsel from the young girls. I'm old, you know. I love my vests, though. I love my vests. How many of you are vest girls? Yeah. Vests are in. That's what I told her. I said, vests are in. And she said, maybe for the old ladies. So, anyways, you know, we did that thing. We went through all the clothes and the other ones. Okay, got all the bags. That's when you realize, you know, we just have way too much stuff, period. And we need to purge and we need to let go. And, you know, bless somebody else with it. Bless somebody else with it. You don't even have to sell them. Just give it away. God will give you more. You don't even need more. But you know what I'm saying? Freedom. Freedom. In that continuum of time in our life, again, very short amount of time, God's outside there. He's watching what we're doing. He sees the panoramic view of what we're doing. And we just want to make good choices so that God is on it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Psalm 23. Everybody knows that one. But turn there anyway. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I was reading some different commentaries, and I was reading some different people, and something that I read kind of stuck with me, and I thought, wow, Lord, that's pretty cool. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay. So for the believer, death for us is just a transition. Because our spirit goes with the Lord, right? So it's basically, it's just a simple transition. We close our eyes and we're going. So we don't really even experience death. Now, the people that are left behind experience someone else's death, but your own death, you don't even really experience it. You just transition from earth to eternity with Jesus Christ. Man, I thought that was so great. So then, let's turn to Philippians 3:20. Take a look there. We'll read it together. If you guys aren't used to like reading the word out loud, it's really cool. You can read it with me. 3:20. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 21 says, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So he has his glorified body, right? I mean, just think about that. Our citizenship is of heaven. So the afterlife for us is glorious. Eternity for us is a joy to think about. It says that the Lord, the death of the saints is like awesome to him. We just close our eyes and we're with him. So is there really anything to fear? So as a mom, I think, Lord, you know, when you think about your kids being sick, and I talked to my girlfriend Cheryl about this, but, you know, wouldn't you like if your kid needed a kidney, you'd give them one, right? Or if they needed an eye, you'd give them one. Or, you know, you'd do whatever you could, right? But that's not what it's all about, because everyone has an appointed time. perform, and on appointed time, that we die. And nothing can change that. Now, the condition that you die is different. So let's say you're very foolhardy, and maybe you do some crazy bungee jump. Your cord snaps, and you come crashing down. You're not going to die, but you could end up like with a broken back, and then you could be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life, right? Because that was your choice to do the crazy bungee jump, right? Crazy things happen like that. There was a little girl that wanted to go up. Her parents were so excited, 18 years old. She wanted to go up and jump out of the airplane. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
Jumped out. Parachute didn't work. She didn't die. But, you know, I mean, she was in the hospital. And hopefully she's going to make it. I mean, I haven't heard what happened after that. But there's choices that we make. We drive too fast, get in a car accident, right? Those are choices that you make. But there's only one time appointed for you to die. And then it's eternity. Don't you just love that? Eternity. Try it. That's where you're going. Come on, try again. Eternity. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. When you think about eternity, God is so big and so great. That's why, girls, you don't have to be a control freak. That's why you don't have to worry. That's why you can trust God. Because he's outside, and he sees. He already sees you with him. I mean, it's like your loved ones. He already sees you off of this planet and with him. Do you guys get that?
Yes.
Can you imagine his awesome, glorious power? How big he is? It's unfathomable. That's why I want you to see those pictures. Do we have a picture? We do?
Yes.
Okay. Never before were they seen. Look how glorious. Can we dim the lights? Box-like shape. The heated remains of an exploded star. Doesn't that look like a jellyfish? Oh, 9,000 light years from Earth. Look how beautiful. 22 million light years. Explosion from the Milky Way. Those are things that are happening in space just on their own. Never seen images of the cosmos. Go to that, girls. Because the colors, this doesn't even do it justice.
That's the same one.
Chewbacca. Okay, get going back in your Bibles and let's turn to Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains. Oh, man. What does that mean? That means our souls, yeah, they're made for eternity. They're going to live forever in a body that looks way better than the ones we have now. And I need a new one. Thank you, Lord. But you know how awesome to think about. about these things that are just not in our, like, you couldn't really talk to that with anyone but another believer, right? It's something that you can get together over coffee with your girlfriends and talk about eternity. How awesome is that? How great God is. When you begin to see how great He is, then the circumstances at your end become just, I don't want to say they become nothing, but you know what? You can trust the Lord that He makes everything beautiful in His time. He'll do it. He'll do it. There's promises that He's given you in His Word, but you haven't read them yet because you haven't spent time enough with them to know where those promises are. And you want to get the cheat sheet and buy the promise book. I bought several of those. You know, and that's okay. That's still the Word of God. But there's nothing like getting your Bible and sitting down with your hot tea or your hot coffee and spending time with the Lord. Is there anything like it? And as you begin to taste and see and spend that time with the Lord, and He's good, and He reveals Himself to you, and He speaks to you, then you want more. And then you actually want the Word, you want to eat the Word more than you want to eat food. And I'm not there yet. But I'm working towards it. And I say that to the Lord, Lord, I want You and Your Word more than I want food, because food is like passing away. You can't take it with you. Egyptians tried. It didn't work. No mummy food, you know? So the food that's lasting for all eternity is this food right here, the Word. You gotta love it. You gotta want it. You gotta find the time. That was a great skit. That was a great skit. Because it gives us something practical to put our mind around. Eternity is it's abstract. But it's real. And we'll go in there. And I want all of us to go together. And honestly, girls, we're all going to be there on the same day. That's my understanding. You pray about it. I don't know if God's going to give you that understanding. Maybe He's going to give you some other understanding. But 1,000 years is like a day. We're all getting there on the same day, girls. And it's going to be awesome. But for the short time that we have, let's show those clocks again. I love that picture of this clock. Yeah. If you think it's transparent, and God sees through all of that at one time, He can be talking to you and having a relationship with you and spending time, and He's answering somebody else's prayer at the same time, because it's not like our understanding of sequential, a moment before and a moment after, and I'm in this moment right here. He's not like that. He's so much bigger. That's why I want to show you the cosmos pictures. What's going on out there? We don't even know. No, I had even seen that before, and it was glorious. And you guys know they go underneath the ocean and they see those fish that are at the very bottom in the dark, and one of them has a little antenna. I tried to find this picture, and it's like a little flashlight right here to light his way. How awesome is that? His own flashlight. We can't figure him out. We don't know. But the second part of that verse is, we don't know what God's done from beginning to end. We don't even have to know. We can just rest in His hands. I love that song. Let's sing it. He's got the whole world in His hands. 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 We could go off, couldn't we? He got the world. Okay, we're not going to. But anyway. He's holding the world in His hand. And you're a part of that world. But He's so big. He's so awesome. He's so great. He can take care of the smallest things. Talk to Him. Spend the time with Him. I want you to. I really want you to. Last verse. Let's look at Luke 2. Great parable. Lots of good parables. When you think about the parable of the virgins, the ones that were ready on time, waiting for the bridegroom to come back, and they had their oil, and you know, when it was time to light it, their oil was there, and then the ones that were lazy said, oh, can I have some of your oil? You don't get to heaven that way on somebody else's coattails. I wish you could, but you can't. It's all on your own. It's all on your own. So let's look at Luke 12. This is a great little parable. It's about the parable of the rich man. I think it's 12, but I could be wrong. 12? Okay. Starting at verse 16. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Now, think about that, girls. This was a man with crops. But you've got to think about your own life. Oh, look in your closet. Look inside your house. Look in your garage. Okay. What am I going to do? I have no room to store this. I'm going to build something else. Okay. He said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, and you can talk to your soul, soul, I have many goods laid up for many years. Oh, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. There's the key. That's what time is all about. Becoming rich towards God. Rich towards God. And how do you become rich towards God? Well, first you spend time with him. And then he starts to show you things to do. Like our sisters that were up here sharing these ministries. Drive-through prayer. Do you love that? They're out there with their signs, and people are coming and praying and getting ministered to. That's being rich towards God. The ministry that we have for Robin, when we provide food at a funeral, you know what, girls? That is like one of the most awesome ministries ever for a family who's just lost someone. There's nothing sweeter. You go to a church, they provide food for you, they decorate the tables, they clean up, they send you home with food. Hello? Everybody can be a part of that. That's being rich towards God. Taking an hour out of your week mentoring someone. That's becoming rich towards God. Learning a new worship song. Learning a new instrument. Doing something with your time that's going to count in eternity. Where your riches are not going to wear out and no moth is going to get. Isn't that the worst? Go to your closet, try something on, not cool. That makes you crazy, right? You go to get something, to use something and it's rusty, or you go to bring out your silver and it's tarnished. Give that stuff away. You don't even need that anymore. That takes way too much time. Give your silver to someone else and let them have their trouble with keeping it clean. And you just, you know, go with that stuff that looks like silver. It's not. I don't even know what it's called, but someone's got it. I don't know what it is. It's good. Be rich towards God. Okay, so before we go, I want a couple of you to give me a way where you feel you're being rich towards God. Not to boast, just to give other girls ideas. Maybe something out of what's the norm? There's no norm. I want to hear from you. Okay.
Take someone to church or Bible study.
Take someone to church or Bible study.
A car, can't drive anymore.
Absolutely. You're good at that. Nola, you are a very good friend. You are a faithful friend. And people know that about you, and it's a very fine characteristic. And I am blessed to be your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, I see a hand up there.
Drive my coworkers to their home in the middle of the night.
drive your coworkers to their home. Is that what you do for them?
Yeah.
Wow. I'd like to be your coworker. Where do you work? I need a job. Where do you work? Okay. Ah. Oh. I like that too. That's right. Okay. Someone else.
When someone is in need, take a box to them.
When someone's in need, take a box to them. And do you take the boxes that we have at church?
Yes.
Okay. You guys know we have those boxes? I mean, how easy is it to like go pick up the box? It's all in there. Take it out to your car, put it in, and drive it to someone. You don't even have to let them know it was from you. You can just leave it at their front door, ding dong ditch, like the old days, and ring the doorbell and skedaddle. Did you guys play that with your kids? Okay, someone else. Send somebody a card of encouragement. Absolutely. A word aptly spoken, and that's another reference to time. Properly spoken at the right time is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Absolutely. That word of encouragement is so necessary, especially for women. Especially for women that live with husbands that don't talk a lot. Then we got to encourage each other because the hubbies aren't doing it. Or to what the amount that we need.
When you do a devotion and God speaks to you with a certain verse or scripture, text it and send it to different ladies that you know God's looking for. And you wait and you see and it's happened where they say, I need to thank you. Mm-hmm. And just minister to them
at that right time.
I minister to you, and you share it, and you just bless it.
Now that's a cool thing about technology now that you can do that. And you can text things and it can go out.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And some of you guys have been getting some things about that, like different prayer things, and that's cool. I mean, we might as well use it for the Lord. There's so much evil out there, right? We might as well redeem the time because the days are evil, right? That's redeeming the time with your texting. That's great. Anybody else? Oh. Really? You have a reputation for being a listener. Amen. And you know, when you become a listener, then the next step, you take that step back and then you pray for those things. A good listener doesn't share those things, but they take them to heart and they take them before the Lord. And then results start happening. And you can get a reputation for just that. That's excellent for all. Anybody else?
When someone comes to the problem, pray then. I've learned sometimes you forget later. So pull the side in its back and pray right then.
Yes. Yeah, I've been guilty of that, like saying that I would pray for someone, then I see him, and then I'm like, oh, I can pray for him, and I don't want to get by him, and I try to, like, sneak away, because I don't want to confess, oh, I forgot about that. So I have to take my binder, I just have to write things down all the time now, because I forget, even if my husband's messages, I'm always writing, because we talk about it. And I used to be able to tell him, oh, I thought that, and I can't even remember that anymore. So then I have to go back to my notes and say, oh, yeah, this is what I really liked. And, you know, we have that spiritual relationship, too. You need that, right? Amen. Anybody else? Oh, Peter?
Don't ever, ever give up praying for your unsaved husband. Don't worry, because in due time, they will come.
Amen. Now, think about that for your spouses, for your children, for, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go when he's old, he will not depart from it. Okay, so then you can worry, worry, worry that your kid's not saved yet, and they're 20, and they're 30, and they're 40, and they're 50, and they're still not saved, right? Or you can take a step back and say, in eternity, God sees all things, and he sees my child saved, and I'm just going to start thanking him.
Thank you.
Thank you that my child is saved in eternity. Thank you that you've already begun to answer these prayers. Thank you that I don't have to worry about my child. That's an eternal perspective that we can all use. The worry has got to go. It's some of you worry more than others, and we all worry. All of us worry, so we put everybody on the same level, but some, that is more of your issue. You know, when you worry, you're not trusting God. So what I want to put in your mind tonight is, when you feel that coming on, you take a step back and you say, God, get your camera out, get you your panoramic view. Sometimes, you don't have to do that sometimes, Lord. You see the whole situation. I don't see it. I'm on this little teeny tiny line that I've drawn from point A to point B, and you are outside of the piece of paper that it's drawn on, and you see it all. Trust in the goodness and the greatness and the awesomeness of your Heavenly Father who created the cosmos. It's our perspective we get, and we need to be. We hold on to things tight, and God wants them. We hold on to people. We hold on to relationships with our girlfriends so tight that you like smother each other. Girls, we can have all kinds of girlfriends. Girlfriends that you go to tea with. Girlfriends that you go to coffee with. Girlfriends that you go to Bible study with. Girlfriends that you go to retreat with. You can have all kinds. You don't just have to have one that you smother.
That's good.
Really? That was a word for someone. I don't know who that was for, but don't smother. Okay, so, closing, I said that a couple times, we talked about the hairdresser, we talked about time like money, there's a couple symbols of time, what is this on my finger? Okay, the circle is eternity, right? Not Calvin Klein's eternity either, eternity, so... So the circle is a symbol. There's another symbol of eternity. It's kind of like that figure eight. That figure eight that keeps going. Okay, that's a symbol of eternity. God's eternity is unfathomable. Unfathomable. So this is what the Lord wants us to do tonight. Let's go to... I think I gave this to you before, but did I give you Psalm 90:12? If I didn't, maybe I did. We're going to read it again. And that's my closing scripture. Psalm 90:12. Okay, now, when I see you and I go like this, you know where that's, you know, that eternity. Okay, so 90:12. Oh, we did look at a couple things in 90, because 90 is a really cool chapter. You guys should just read it. A thousand days, it's like a day, the 70 years, the 80 years, but 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Your days are numbered. You only have so much time left. What are you going to do with it? Okay? Make it count for eternity. Be rich towards God. Think about the choices that you make and live differently. Can't we all choose to live differently? To live with that mindset of, wow, I want to be rich towards God. And everything that you girls shared, that's just scratching the surface of what he wants us to do. Let's pray. Father God, it is our desire that we see you and we see eternity in a fresh, new way. You're so grand and you're so glorious and you're so mighty and high and lofty. And as Isaiah 57 says, you inhabit eternity. And we're going to be there someday, and it's going to be awesome, and we're all going to get there, Lord, and I think it's going to be on that same day. And it's going to be glorious. But now we're in this time capsule, Lord. We're on the earth, and we deal with minutes and seconds and days and months and years, but we only have a few left, so help us to live rich towards you. Put it in our hearts, Lord God, to spend time with you, to love the brothers and sisters, to worship, to pray, to sneak off with our coffee and our Bible and get alone with you with our devotions and just enjoy the time that we have with you, because our days are short. And the earth's days are short too. Well, we are living in the last days, so just prepare us for the time that we have left. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.